and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word.
Yes, we do.
Everlasting, eternal.
Yes, we do.
Oh, the incorruptible seed. I pray, Lord, that you would let it penetrate every heart and mind and soul in this place. Anoint your servant to preach it. Let it be as the writer said in Hebrews, quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let it pierce and go into the depths of every soul. God, let it be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Help us to grow and be nourished by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 3 questions are asked by the people of God in verses 19 and 20. And because these questions are asked, the psalmist declares unto us that through these questions, these people spake against God. For he said in the 19th verse, "Yea, they spake against God." And then he goes on and proceeds to tell us how they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Verse 20 said, "He smote the rock and the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed." Question number 2, wherein they spake against God. Can he give bread also? And the 3rd question, can he provide flesh for his people? And the Bible said, because of these 3 questions in verse 21, when God heard these questions, he got angry. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. I want to preach on the table of the Lord, the table of God, or God's table. Hallelujah. They spake against God. You might say, "I'd never do that." I would say tonight, "Oh, I don't want to talk against God." Of course, it don't hurt us to speak against our neighbor or our brother or enough of that. I don't want to get started in that direction here tonight and ruin everything here. But I got news for you. You talk that way and you speak that way and you're still speaking against God. Hallelujah. God bless you. I hope it gets better than this. Amen. I want to preach about God's table. The Bible said that they asked the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And so I'll just go from that first question and tell you that God has a table tonight. We believe that, don't we? God has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and He invites His chosen people, come and dine. I like that song. Hallelujah. If I'd have thought of it earlier, we might have sang it. But I didn't, and I'm already into preaching. So anyway, I want you to know Jesus does have a table spread tonight. Amen. And He invites you to come. He invites all to come. Hallelujah. And so, but they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I want you to know that not only can God, but God not only can, but God does. Hallelujah. You know the problem today is we throw off on certain more liberal type people, and we want to accuse them of blabbing and grabbing and claiming and naming and claiming and saying, and you know, that's all right, and say your little cliches and throw off if you want to, but I want to tell you something. We have allowed that kind of stuff to hinder us from what God really has for us. And I want to tell you, I'm not worried about somebody going overboard tonight. I'm not worried about somebody dancing maybe when it's not really the Spirit, and keep that from causing me to dance. I'm not going to, because somebody might shout and it might be the flesh, keep that from letting me feel the presence of God if He wants to move on me. All right? Hallelujah. And so I want to tell you tonight that instead of us questioning, can God, we need to turn that around and say, God can. Hallelujah. And I don't care if it sounds charismatic. I want you to know God can do it tonight. I want you to know He's still the God, amen, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. And so I want to preach to you and tell you that God does have a table, and that it is a wilderness table, because they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. Amen. He does have a wilderness table. I ask you the question tonight. How could they even pose this question? How could they even say, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I just remind you tonight and tell you tonight, what has He been doing since they left the land of Egypt? What has He done as they stood at the Red Sea and no way to go forward, no way to go, the mountains too high and dangerous to cross, and Pharaoh's army behind them? What did God do but part the waters and let them go across on dry ground? Hallelujah. I hope you'll help me preach for just... I'll not preach long. I promise you that tonight. But, oh, I want to tell you that God has a table. And it's a wilderness table. Can I not say, and you agree with me tonight, that this old world is and can be compared to as a wilderness? Now, I want to tell you, in the wilderness of this world, God does not forget His chosen. God has not forgotten His people. And He spreads a table in the wilderness. Wilderness. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, He does. Amen. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And may I say, what have they been doing 6 days out of every seven but going out of their tent of a morning the first thing and finding the ground white? What is it? It's manna. It's bread from heaven. It's God pouring out His blessing and spreading His table. That's what it is. Amen. In the wilderness, the table was spread and God provided. And listen, what the way the Bible said it. Verse 12, marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers. Amen. Divided the sea and caused them to pass through. Made the waters to stand as in heap. Hallelujah. And too hard. Praise God. And so the Bible said, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. And what else did he do? Clave the rocks in the wilderness, gave them drink as out of the great depths, brought streams out of the rock, caused waters to run down like rivers. And in spite of it, the Bible said in verse 17, they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Amen. What did God do when they asked for meat? God filled them with quail, hallelujah, till they got foundered on it and literally ate it till it ran out of their nostrils. But God spread the table in the wilderness. You remember when God gave a call to Elijah and told him to go down by the brook out in the middle of nowhere? And what did God do but provide a table in the wilderness? God gave him water in a time of famine. Hallelujah. And God gave him two meals every day. Hallelujah. Flesh and bread in the morning and flesh and bread in the evening. By the mouth of a raven, God moved on the bird, and the bird brought Elijah's meal twice a day. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said, recapping the history of Israel, the psalmist declared, amen, that man did eat angels' food. Hallelujah. God spread a table in the wilderness. I got news for you tonight. This world is a wilderness, but in spite of it, God's got a table spread. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, if you're having a problem with your diet, it's not God's problem. His table is spread. It's spread right in this service tonight. And if you haven't got the appetite, that's not God's fault. Amen. You know, my wife, boy, I tell you, I don't like cooking. That's why I've been eating a lot of soup. Just heat it up. Hallelujah. Amen. But my wife can prepare the finest of tables. But if I've been eating candy bars and stopping at UDF and drinking giant-sized chocolate marshmallow malts, it's not her fault if it don't taste quite as good as it ought to. And I don't eat as much as I ought to. I'm sick of chicken and potatoes and... No, I ain't sick on it. I've just been eating the wrong kind of stuff before mealtime. Amen? I want to tell you the problem with so many people in the house of God. When they get to the house of God, there's no shortage on God's table. I mean to tell you, there's healing in the house tonight. There's deliverance in the house tonight. There's salvation for the lost tonight. There's baptizing in the Holy Ghost for the children of God tonight. Amen. The table is spread. But if you've been feeding on the wrong things all week, it ain't God's fault. If you ain't full, or if you don't partake of the table when he spreads it. Amen. I want to tell you, God's got a table. It's not just a wilderness table either. I want to tell you, it's a table fit for a king. It's a king's table. Amen. I mean the very best. Hallelujah. How many remembers David took over the reign of Israel and was anointed to be king? And the Bible declares in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1, David got to thinking about a covenant that he had made with Jonathan. And he inquires and said, is there any yet left of the household of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And so word was put forth. And they came back and said, there is one yet alive. His name is Mephibosheth. Well, tell him to come on. Well, King, he's got a problem. He was dropped as a youngster. And he's lame on both of his feet. Well, where's he at? I'll go take my own chariot after him. He's down there in Lodabar. This is Saul's grandson.
Yes, sir.
I mean, but here he is, dwelling in Lodabar. You know what Lodabar means? It was a poor country. It was a poor part. I mean, the Bible, the biblical name, Lodabar, actually means a land of no bread or land without pasture. And here is this grandson of a king, dwelling in a place of poverty and dwelling in a place of no pasture, no bread. Amen. But one day he received a message. King David is coming. Get ready to meet him. I don't know what went through his mind, but perhaps it was, oh no, is he going to kill me? Oh, I'm the only one left of us. I know Grandpa was bad to him. What's he got in mind? His fears were put at ease as he stood in the presence of the king. And the king took him into his chariot and took him to the palace. Amen. And at mealtime, there was a knock on Mephibosheth's door as he's now dwelling in the palace and said, the table is spread. Dinner is served. Hallelujah. And they ushered him right in to the king's table. The Bible said, you will eat continually at my table forever. Hallelujah. From now on, it'll not be Lodabar. It'll not be poverty, but the best, the king's table. Hey, I want to tell you, the great King of Kings has a table spread where you can be fed tonight, where you can get what you want, where you can be nourished. It's a king's table. It's a prepared table. It's not, pardon me, nothing wrong with it, and don't get offended at me, but it's not potluck. How many knows what potluck is? It's all the leftovers thrown in. Just whatever you got. At least that's what I always thought it was. I might be wrong on what potluck is, but that's what I always thought of it as being. He's having potluck. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you, you don't get that. When you come to God's table, it's a prepared table. I know the Bible said in the 23rd Psalm, you can quote it, can't you? The 23rd Psalm and verse 5 declares, thou preparest a what? They wanted to know, can God furnish a table? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I want to tell you, God's table is a prepared table. That 23rd Psalm that most of us can quote, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, semicolon. I know that was added, but I believe it was put in the right spot. I used to hear the old timers, my grandpa included, when I was a little boy growing up in church, I used to hear them old-time preachers get up, and I mean, they preach simply most of the time right out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. Or all those real familiar. A lot of them did a lot of the times, but boy, they sure did do a good job. Amen. We try to preach some things today people ain't never heard of before. Amen. But I think they did a good job preaching a lot out of Matthew and Mark. But anyway, I hear them, and they'd use the 23rd Psalm a lot. And how many of them old-time preachers, when I was a little boy, have I heard say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? How many times have I heard them say it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh it. And I sat there. I remember it. Really, I'm not making it up. I remember as a boy hearing them say it. And I remember the question as a little boy in my mind, why don't they want the Lord for their shepherd? Really? I'm serious. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Who wouldn't want the Lord for their shepherd? Really? I never did know until I got saved. And I read the Bible. And I read the 23rd Psalm. And it said, the Lord is my shepherd, semicolon. Pause before you continue. Think that over a moment before you go on. Hallelujah. Hey, I tell you, it makes all the difference. It's not that they didn't want the Lord for their shepherd. It's the Lord is my shepherd. My, my, my. Ooh. David was a shepherd. He understood how he watched over his father's sheep. He knows that when a lion come out, he slew it. And a bear, and he ripped it apart. Hey, I want to tell you. And he got to thinking, well, the Lord is my shepherd. I know how I take care of sheep. And how much more so the Lord. And therefore, he burst forth, I don't have any want. That's what he was saying, isn't it? I shall not want. I shall not want for rest, for he maketh me to lie down. I shall not want for food, because he maketh me lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for guidance, for he leadeth me in the path beside the still waters. Hallelujah. So I don't have any want for, I don't want for thirst, because I'm led by still waters. I shall not want for restoration, for he restoreth my soul. I shall not want for guidance again, because he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. I want you to know, brother, amen, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I shall not want for comfort, for thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. And I shall not want for food, amen, because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want for anointing, for thou anointest my head with oil. I shall not want for blessing, for my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Oh my. I surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thou preparest a table where? Where? Before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, sometimes God just blesses us extra special when we've really been going through it and the devil got our feet to the fire. And right in the presence of our enemy, the devil, God pours out his spirit and his touch and his blessing. My, my, hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. In the presence of mine enemies. Now, I want to tell you, that's and God does that. But you know what? I believe he'll even prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I mean, them that don't like us too good. I ain't talking about just the devil either. Amen? You think God doesn't do that? When I pastored my first church, God bless first-time pastors. I pastored my first church. I was full-time pastor, 25 years old. Boy, I was an experienced man. 25, I'd done seen it all, knew it all. 25, I'm going to pastor the church. Hallelujah. Well, there were some older folks than me in that church. And some of them didn't see things the way I did. So consequently, some of them got mad at me. Can you imagine that. I thought, I really did, I really thought everybody ought to like me. I thought I was such a good-natured individual that everybody ought to like me. But I found out everybody wasn't going to like me. And thank God the majority did. But not everybody. And so, because I went to that church that had for 75 years or however many years, I'm not sure just how many years it had been, the deacons had always done everything. And the deacons had scheduled the revivals and got the preacher, the church had, and the deacons had ran the service, and the pastor sat out in the congregation like a lay member. And from the first Sunday there, I led the service. And the first revival and every other revival that we had, I got the evangelist. And it was just more than some of them could handle. Thing is, I had some leverage. I knew how they were, and I told them not even vote on me unless I could do that. I wouldn't come. And they voted me in. They said 100%. So, hallelujah. So some of them got mad and they called a board meeting. And I sit in that board meeting in that room right back here off the platform, Sunday school room. And one by one, I called them by name and I said, did I not tell you before you ever vote on me, if I can't get the preacher and say, well, I didn't think I was asking too much. I mean, I didn't change a bunch of other things needed change. I just told them that much. I said, if I can't get the evangelist and when to have revival, I said, don't even vote. I said, did I not say that? And I called the first one by name. And he kind of hem-hawed around and stuttered around a little bit and said, well, you know, I really don't remember. So I called the next one by name and I said, now, didn't I say that? And he said, I don't know. And I went to every one of them and they all had amnesia. And I said, fine, I resign. Effective now, immediately. I'm through. I still have my fifth wheel. I said, I got a fifth wheel just waiting to be pulled. Oh, Brother Oakley, don't get so heavy. Now, wait a minute. Hold on here, Carl. Just don't wait. Don't resign yet. We'll wean them. That's what they said. And they did. And it continued that way. And now no pastor has a problem with that. Amen. And the church stood with me on it. But there was four or five people that just never have got over it. And one of them, when I preached, listen, one of them, when I preached, see, in that church, there was two pews right here along this side. The pews come down like this, and then there were two over here, and there were two over here. And on this side, brothers sat, and on this side, some of the sisters sat, and we kind of called it the Amen Corner. And I had one of those that was mad at me was in this Amen Corner. And to sit in these pews to face the pulpit, you had to sit at a 45, I guess that'd be a 45 angle, and face the platform like this. And that's what this fellow would do all service long until I got up to preach, and then he would do a 90. You think I'm kidding, don't you? I'm telling you that when I got up to preach, he faced the back door while I preached. And number two mad at me out of about the five that were mad at me. Number two was song leader. And it was just, I say song leader, we had a choir, but she was kind of louder than the rest and kind of started the song. That's why I say song leader and sang specials. And it was amazing how quick she could move in and out of the spirit. Because she was all super spiritual when she was singing. But as soon as I opened my Bible, whoo, she folded them arms and she kind of dropped that head and her jaws puffed out a little. I know you folks now think I'm kidding, but I really ain't. Tapes are sometimes not a good idea, but that's all right. It ain't gonna change nothing. Hallelujah. And so, preach, and one's puffed up, and one's facing the back door, and some of them's hollering, amen, and I'm preaching, and guess what? I'm going to tell you, God helped me, and God anointed me, and I want to tell you, except maybe when I was pastoring at the Willard Pentecostal Church, I ain't never preached no better than I did there. Hallelujah. And I preached, and I preached, and I jumped, and I praised God, got excited, and I got emotional, and I went, glory, hallelujah, and some folks shouted with me. And some of us were shouting, and some was, and one guy was facing the back door, and one lady was arms folded, and her jaws puckered out. Hallelujah. Amen. And one night, the Holy Ghost, I don't do things like this. I don't put people on the spot. But the Spirit of God came on me, and I didn't know hardly what I was doing. And I walked down off the platform. Amen. And the anointing of God was running like a river. And I walked over to that man facing the back door, and I laid my hand on his shoulder, and I said, sit there with your puffed up spirit and attitude. And then I walked away, and as soon as I walked away, I began to shout, and the power of God began to move, and the Holy Ghost took over. Hallelujah. And a sister sitting right over here came up to me after service and said, Brother Oakley, how do you preach like that when he sits and looks at the back door and she sits there with her jaws all blown out, amen, making faces at you? And I said, sister, I prayed through. Hallelujah. And you know what God did? God furnished a table, and God prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. So much so that that man that did that, God turned it around. And before he died, he was saying things like, me and the preacher going to get folks coming to this church. We're going to go out and visit. And that's the way God, I tell you, he prepares a table even in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But they said, can God furnish a table? Well, that's what he'd been doing all along. Furnish, providing. He's got a table, and he don't just have an empty one. He furnishes it. He puts something on it. And I just want to tell you in closing tonight, he's got a table for you. And tonight, it's spread. And he invites his chosen people. Come and dine. Hallelujah. What's he got it furnished with? Whatever you need. It's on the table. Hallelujah. I mean all variety. Hallelujah. Well, I could tell you that bread's on the table to nourish you. Hallelujah. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of John, verse 35, that I am the bread of life that cometh down from heaven. Hallelujah. And I could tell you that there's water to refresh you with, and that you can drink from the life-giving waters. Hallelujah. And I could tell you that there's milk on the table for, where is it? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. And I could tell you that there's meat on the table. For Hebrews 5 and 14 declares, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now what's that mean? Does that mean you got to be saved 50 years to have the meat? No. There's some people eating meat after a few months. And there's some been in the way 50 years and still can't handle the meat. But preacher, you just said strong meat belongs to them that are full age. And bless God, I want you to know, you young whipper, I ain't young no more, I'm Grandpa, but you young whippersnapper, you, that I've been around before you was born. Well, God bless you. But that don't mean you can handle the meat, because you don't get a full age in this by how many years you've been around. But the verse continues, and it says, even those who by reason of use, see, some of you never use it. The meat's the word, and some of you can't handle it yet. Hallelujah. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's why there's some things we can't preach are a sin, but we can preach, you ought to really leave them alone. They're not good for you. Because we can't prove it book, chapter, and verse in black and white that some things and some places and a lot of things, amen, but we have our senses exercised. And we understand this book well enough to discern what's good for you and what's bad for you. Hello. Hallelujah. And you know what? Preachers wouldn't have to preach on so many things if you just come to the table and eat. Hallelujah. It's in the book, praise God. You can have your own senses exercised to discern good and evil if by use you get to where you can handle the meat. Hallelujah. While they get ready, give us a song. I tell you that I like fruit. I really do. I like fruit. Well, God's got some good fruit on His table, specially prepared for you tonight. 9 flavors, 9 varieties, 9 different kinds. They're the fruit of the Spirit. And the first one on the table is love. And right beside of it is joy. And right next to it is peace. And after you partake of that, right next to it is some long suffering. And my God, every one of us ought to get a little of that fruit tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Wonderful fruit. Wonderful fruit. Say, preacher, sometimes that stuff don't taste real good. Well, now I know what you're thinking now. God's stuff always tastes good. Well, you know, if you're out of sorts with the Word and you need some love and you got somebody been doing you wrong, that fruit may not taste too good of love and peace and long suffering. Might be a little hard to swallow and get down if you got a kind of a get back attitude and a get even spirit, you know. But I'll tell you what'll help it taste a little bit better, where you can get it on down. You know, some things don't taste right unless you add a little seasoning with it. Well, God's got some salt on the table to preserve you, to keep you. Salt is a preservative, is it not? It'll keep you. And it's a seasoning. It'll flavor things. So when it don't taste just right or a little hard to swallow, just put a little salt on it from the table. Amen. Season it right up where you can help swallow that and get it on down and love your enemy. Hallelujah. Bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you. And hallelujah. Ah, God's got a table. Yes, He does. Would you stand tonight? They spake against God. How'd they do it? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And God was angry with them because they spoke such words. If you've got a gripe, a grumble, or a complaint with the services at the Highway of Holiness, you need some salt to season you up a little bit. Because God knows what He's doing. And the table is always spread. And we have a Spirit-led pastor who welcomes the moving of the Spirit in decency and in order, as long as it's done right. And He'll see that it's done right. Hallelujah. Amen. And He's been known, if a preacher was preaching too long, tell him it's time to quit. That's all right. Because he's led of the Spirit and he's God's man. Come on now. Hallelujah. And there's some folks that took a little too long in the service and he kind of told them to get on with what they're supposed to be doing. That's all right, because his senses are exercised. He knows. And every night we come, the table is spread. Come on here now. Hallelujah. If you haven't got an appetite, it ain't my fault. It ain't the pastor's fault. It ain't God's fault. It's what you've been getting full of before you got here. Hallelujah. And the only one that can help your appetite is you. And if you'll quit eating all the junk, my God, when you get to His house, you can have the blessings and the benefits of the table of God. Because Jesus has a table spread and every night He invites the people to come. Amen. Sing for us. Praise God.
Jesus has the table spread.
Could we sing it a moment before we come?
God are fed. He invites His chosen people.
Come
and dine.
And dine.
With His manna He doth feed.
Thus
and supplies
every need.
Oh, it is sweet to suffer.
How sweet it is.
All the time.
Yes. All the time.
Come and dine.
That's the call tonight.
Come and dine.
The Master's calling.
You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
All the time. He who fed
the multitude.
Turn water to wine. To the hungry now calls. Come and dine. Let's do that. The table is spread. What do you have need of? God's got it on the table tonight. It's on the table tonight.
For the Master called to them, come and dine.